Good evening, good evening. We are in studio today on Financial Fitness with my good friend, real estate guru here in the Baton Rouge area, Mr. Trey Willard, the king of the W Group. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing amazing, my friend. The king of the W Group. I've been called that before.
I just gave you that title.
I appreciate it. I'll take that title.
Trey is one of the realtors in this market I admire the most, because when we talk, Trey's knowledge and his grasp on everything from the analytics to the numbers is down to a science. You know, there's no guessing, there's no secret to the success and why you've got one of the number one teams in the state and why your numbers continue to grow. You know, anytime we're talking, you know, within seconds, you're able to pull up every analytic, every appointment, everything to a T, and every metric of your team is measured impeccably. I'm envious because I don't measure it enough for my team. So I love it, because it's exactly the thing I need a guy like you doing for me on my team, is watching every single thing to that finite detail. And that's why I wanted you on the show, because the market right now is extremely competitive, and it's difficult for your average consumer right now who's trying to get offers accepted. So I wanted to just give you, a minute to introduce yourself, tell everybody about you, your company, and we'll talk a little bit about the market right now.
Yeah, for sure. I'll try to keep it short and sweet. So Trey Willard, been in the business since 2010. So I celebrated I'm celebrating my 12th year in the business.
Time flies.
And I have ran through the gamut of, I was an assistant for an agent, I was a buyer's agent, solo agent, built a team, and now we have a large team here in Baton Rouge, and we also expanded into the North Shore. So we have a team, expansion team in Mandeville, Covington, and also in New Orleans. So
okay.
A lot of focus on the expansion part of the business. Last year, 334 transactions. We just under $92 million in production. And this year we're pacing somewhere between $6 and $6.50 for about $150 to $165 million in volume this year. So
you're on pace to almost double it.
Yes.
In a what people are calling a down market.
I wouldn't call it a down market, but
no.
I would call it a very competitive and a very difficult market, right?
Yes.
It's like you said, getting your buyer's offers accepted has never been more challenging. And that's what we spend a lot of our time teaching our agents, is how to negotiate, how to write good, clean offers, how to set the expectations with their clients. And we've had a tremendous amount of success with that.
That's key. And you know, you guys who are listening, if you've been in the market and you're using a friend or a cousin or someone, especially, like, I love when I hear that they do something else part-time. If you're using a part-time agent, there's a good indicator why you're having trouble getting those offers accepted, because you're going up against a guy like Trey who lives and breathes this stuff 24/7. You know, this guy's got his numbers dialed into a T, and if you're going up against an offer with him, he's going to know how to beat an inexperienced agent. He's taught his team strategies to do that. We're going to share a few of those strategies with you guys today on the show, because again, we like to give value to our listeners, and that's one of the things our show is about, giving back, and we want people to be financially fit. That's
what 100%,
our show, yep. Yeah, financial fitness. So, you know, part of it is owning a home and having that asset secured, and that's key for a lot of people. And your first-time home buyer, I think, is the one really struggling the most right now to get an offer accepted if they don't have a lot of money to pay over list price.
Of course.
You know, so since you brought that up, let's kind of go, we'll kind of jump ahead to that, because that was one of the things I really wanted to focus on today, is what do you do differently to get an offer? If I'm offering $200,000 and you're offering $200,000, What do you do to make your offer a little more attractive, or what things can you tell our listeners, our audience, that would make their offer, other than, of course, using the W Group? I mean, sure. That's the first thing you could do.
Yeah, so that's an amazing question. There's a few variables that are unfortunately out of our control. Number one, type of financing that they're using, their down payment, do they need closing cost assistance? These are all things that are technically out of our control, right? It depends on what they've saved, how much equity they either have in a home or they have maybe in the bank that they've saved. I'll tell you, what a lot of people don't put enough value in is the relationships with the cooperating agents, right? So I've been in the business again 12 years. I feel like I have an amazing relationship with a lot of the agents, if not all of the agents, mm-hmm. in the greater Baton Rouge market. So when someone on my team, we put my name on all the contracts as well as the agent, the cooperative, right. I say the agent on our team, we call them first, right? The very first thing we do is we call them and we find out, hey, is there another, are you guys currently accepting offers? Do you have multiple offers? What's the timeline,
right,
when you'd like to see the offer? And what's most important to your clients? With the offer they take, do they need additional time in the house to find their next property? Would they need a lease back? Would they want to do an extended close? Are they looking for like a super quick close with like no contingencies, yeah, like a short inspection period? One of the things that we're having a tremendous amount of success with, and a lot of people probably had never heard of an escalation clause until now, or at least until the last maybe 12 months. So what an escalation clause basically states is, hey, we're willing to pay $1,000 over the highest offer up to a certain point, right? You put a cap on it. So you say house is listed for $200,000, we will pay $1,000 over the highest offer up to $210,000.
Okay.
So right now you're putting yourself in a position where your offer is $1,000 better, anything up to $210,000. Now, of course, you and I both know that we have some appraisal issues from time to time, depending on how aggressively the listing agent priced the property, right? Did they,
yeah,
price at fair market value? Were they 5% over fair market value? Inevitably, where were they at? So 9 times out of 10, and I think a lot of people don't understand this, there's three typical contingencies we see in a contract. Number one, it's always financing. Number two, it's always inspections. And then number three is always an appraisal, right?
Yep.
So what we'll do, another strategy we use is what's called like a partial appraisal removal. So on top of the escalation clause, we'll write a clause in the additional terms and comment that say the buyer is willing to pay $5,000 over the appraised value not to exceed X, right?
Yep.
So not only are we have an escalation clause in there, but our buyers are saying we're also willing to pay a certain amount over the appraised value.
Right.
So if the appraisal comes in short, which we've seen more appraisals come in short in the last probably 12 to 6 months than I think I have in my entire career, because these agents, listing agents, are
just pricing it as high as the client wants to ask.
100%, right? And not to say that sellers are being greedy, but no one wants to leave any money on the table. And look, I can totally appreciate that and understand that, because I tell my clients the same thing. Hey, look, but if we price it competitively, we should drive it above list.
Right.
And we should generate we have more offers to choose from. Those are some strategies that we use, and we've had a lot of success with. But like I said, most importantly, the relationship with a cooperating agent. I mean, we as the W Group on my team, myself, we have a tremendous, I'd say we have a lot of credibility,
yeah,
in the market. So they know. And then two,
yep,
who is your lender, right? So you're a lender. You're a local lender. There's a lot of lenders out there that people have never heard of that are,
right,
coming into the market, like these better.coms and these, Quicken Loans that are guaranteeing these rates to people.
Yeah, and they're notoriously bad on the purchase side.
For sure, right? And which the consumer technically has to buy points inevitably to get that rate,
yeah,
to what they guarantee, which is always another story for another day. But using a local lender, like you guys or one of the other guys in town that the listing agent is familiar with and has worked with,
yes,
in the past, is incredibly important. So credibility with the agent, right, credibility with the mortgage lender, are two incredibly important things that I think a lot of people just overlook.
I agree. And one thing I think that Louisiana agents are unfamiliar with is the process of paying over list. and over asking price, because I've had a number of incidents. We got about a minute left, where they paid $40,000 and $50,000 over list price.
Sure.
And then I get the call from the buyer's agent when it didn't appraise, and I tell them, guys, when you go $40,000, $50,000 over, it's not the appraiser's job anymore to get you that value that's on the contract. Your client, like you said, needs to be educated properly that whatever it appraises for, you're paying the difference out of pocket, because sure. It's not going to appraise for that amount because there's no sales yet to generate that value.
So, that's correct.
You know, those are some common things that having a really good agent is key. We're going to take a short commercial break. You guys stay tuned after this for more financial fitness. Welcome back. Our second segment here of Financial Fitness. My man Trey Willard is dropping amazing real estate knowledge on us here. And if you weren't listening to the first segment, if you're in the market to buy a home right now, you really need to stay tuned in, because we're talking about probably the single most important topic right now, and that's getting your offers accepted, which has been more of a challenge now than ever. I've been doing this 22 years, and we've never had a more competitive market than we do right now. And I know you would agree on your side as well. You know,
yeah, 100%. Look, if there were more inventory in this market right now, we would sell, no kidding, hundreds of more houses. So, yeah, I mean, look, we feel it. It's a pinch. Everybody's feeling it. You know, and we're putting a lot of training around, you know, what to say as well, right? Like how to set the expectations with clients, how to educate the consumer on what's going on, so that if you can set the proper expectations on the front end, you know, when you're going through the process, like, look, I'm telling them, if you don't have a lot of money to put down and you're asking for some concessions, you know, we try to get real creative, but setting the expectations and letting the consumer know, hey, look, we're probably going to have to put in 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 offers on a property before it gets accepted.
Yeah.
And just know going into that, if you set your expectations that it might be 10 and we get your offer accepted in the third time, hey,
we're ahead of schedule.
That's a win, right? So again, I think setting the expectations with the client is incredibly important up front.
Yeah, and seller concessions are getting very few and far between right now. I just got my first offer probably in the last month or two that had seller concessions. House had been on the market for going on 30 days, and it was in that good price range, like 300 to 315.
Sure.
And it was a nice property. So, you know, that diamond in the rough right now, where they got it at list price with a little bit of seller concessions, but that's not the norm right now.
No, it's not, and you know, you had mentioned data earlier, and one of the things that I always like to come prepared with is data, and it's understanding the market and what's going on with the market, right?
Yeah.
So last month in April, we saw 1.1 months of total inventory in the greater Baton Rouge, so Livingston, Ascension, East Baton Rouge, West Baton Rouge, right? That's what we look at from like a macro, if you will. Now, if we start getting micro, 1.1 months of available inventory in East Baton Rouge. We had 1.1 in Livingston, which was up from 0.7. So that's where we saw the largest gain in inventory, which tells us a little bit of a story, right? And then in Ascension Parish, where we had 0.6 months, we were up to 0.7 months. So just a slight.
Yeah.
And in 0.1, we had 1 month of available inventory, and it went up just a smidge in East Baton Rouge Parish. So Livingston the biggest, which tells a story, right? Which tells us that, you know, sellers are probably overpricing their homes, and homes are sitting a little bit longer, or there's a little bit more inventory to choose from, which is just good for the consumer, right? I think we've been in such a good real estate market where sellers, you know, and buyers agents and even listing agents are used to, you know, getting their homes or their offers accepted within a couple of days or a day with multiple offers.
Right.
And I'm not saying those days are over, because, you know, a seller's market, you know, really anything south of 6 months, 5 months, really, and then anything under that, you're looking at a seller's market, right? That there's less inventory than there is demand.
Yeah.
Right now, with a month, there's
limited.
Very, very little inventory for a huge amount of demand. And we talked a little bit about interest rates earlier, right?
Interest rates have come up substantially, which, surprisingly, which is good for both of us,
sure,
has not really stale, put the brakes on the purchase market. If anything, what I've seen is a little bit more sense of urgency
sure.
from buyers, because they're kicking themselves a little bit. They didn't buy last year when they were in the twos. So now we're upper 4s and 5% range, which is a normal rate. Still not a bad
sure.
rate.
Of course.
But you know, you hear all your friends bragging about their 2% rate.
Yeah, and those guys don't want to move.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to sell my house in the Roseanne now.
Right.
I'm at like 1.9 on that.
That's 15 bananas.
Year.
Yeah, that's crazy. But look, I'm glad you brought that up. And what I'd like to piggyback on what you're talking about, right, is we're not really seeing a whole lot of slowdown. And yes, does it create more urgency for people to get off the fence? And again, this goes back to knowing the numbers. If you look back in historically, anytime you see a rise in interest rates, believe it or not, you see a rise in appreciation in home prices, right? So we saw 9.5% appreciation year over year in 2021. And in 2022, so far year to date, we're looking at 8% appreciation.
Already.
So since 2020, we've seen the median sales price, mm-hmm. I mean, up almost
double digits.
Almost 20%, right? So say it's 16 to 17%
right.
appreciation. Man, that's bananas.
It's
in the median sales price for our market. So for everybody who's listening that thinks that an increase in interest rates is going to have a negative impact on the median sales price.
The numbers say the opposite.
100% economics disagrees.
And you're such a numbers guy, and I'm big in the numbers too, that I've had so many people make the bad assumption last year and the year, but they're going to wait for the market to cool off.
Sure.
They're going to wait for a correction. And, you know, I would show people a lot of times, even if by the slight chance that there's a really big decline in home values,
mm-hmm.
last year you were looking at a house for $350,000, rates were in the twos, and let's say the price dropped to $300,000 from $350,000, but now rates are at 5%. That house still cost you more this year than had you bought it last year
100%.
At $350,000. So, you know, people keep waiting on the sidelines. And that perfect time is not going to happen. You know, like the time is now. Like, it's not a sales pitch. Again, we're not saying anything other than if you wait, it's going to cost you more. And we have a cost of waiting tool and a cost of
sure.
waiting index we show people. If they waited 6 months and rates went up an eighth, if they waited this long, and it shows you how many tens of thousands of dollars extra that house cost you by waiting.
Sure.
And now that cost of waiting index would look astronomically different, because our metrics that were built in there were like an eighth of a percent increase
sure.
over, you know, so
yeah.
many days, whereas now we've been seeing interest rates rise. They've risen 3 points this year. You know, so when you're talking about waiting for the market to come down, you know, a lot of people think with the recession coming, housing prices are going to decline. And I've made my opinion known many times
sure.
over that we have a shortage of inventory.
That's right.
I don't see the housing prices coming down because, again, supply and demand. What are you seeing on your side with the experts?
Yeah, 100%, man. So back in 2000, and I think everybody's still a little like paralyzed from 2007 and 8 when the market crashed. You know, there were a lot of products out there that you could legit walk
yeah.
down to a bank, and if you had a pulse, you could get a loan, right?
Right.
And those products don't exist anymore. Sellers have more equity in their homes than they've ever had probably in the history of time. And again, there's a lot of data around this, so don't just take my word for it.
Yeah.
Again, 1.1 months of available inventory. There would have to be a massive influx of inventory to hit the market before we ever
We can't build
saw,
it quick enough. Yes.
What I would consider even like a moderation like in the inventory levels, and it's just not going to happen, right? So I think we've got another 2.5-3 year run
yeah.
at this, and I still think it's probably going to go longer because I just don't see an abundance of inventory hitting the market that's not absorbed.
Right.
Pretty much every house that's hitting the market right now, so like some data, right? Last or this year, 5,100 new listings that hit the market, 4,700 of those have been absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
5,155 pending sales, 4,398 pending sales have gone under contract, and this is through this is year to date through March of April of last year. We've seen the list sale price ratio that was 98% last year, 99%. So sellers are only negotiating 1% off their list price. And most importantly, you know, we've seen the average days on market go from 63 down to 38, which was a 40% decline.
Yeah. One another thing a lot of people don't factor in is the millennial population, the largest population, is hitting their early to mid-30s now. And so those guys are just a little younger than us. Mm-hmm. Don't want to age us on the air. But, you know, these guys are hitting the market, and they are buying a little later than our generation.
Sure.
They're buying in their early 30s. And construction was at very low numbers the last decade. So we had low levels of construction, 1 million to 2 million units a year, whereas in the past we were at 3 and 5 and 7 million units now. So we were building fewer and fewer units. And what people forget with first-time home buyers, where a first-time home buyer is different than you and I, where I'm going to sell my house in the Roseanne and go buy a new house.
Sure.
So I'm creating a balance because I'm selling a house and buying a new house. A first-time home buyer only removes inventory. They don't put anything back in the market.
That's exactly right.
And so with the millennial population booming and they're at the buying age, that's millions and millions of buyers who are going to buy inventory without putting another house on the market because they don't have a departure residence.
That's right.
And so that's where this imbalance is going to continue. Like you said, I see it over the next several years because the millennial population isn't going away.
Yeah.
And it's the largest age group right now, and they're at the buying age.
That's right. And then you have a lot of the boomers, right, which was the second largest, that are downsizing. You know, they're still obviously alive, right? And there, a lot of those guys are downsizing. So when they're trading down instead of trading up. Now some are trading up, don't get me wrong, but you're absolutely right. Now they're trading one property for another one, whereas, like you said, millennials are coming from an apartment or living with their parents or whatever it may be and absorbing the inventory as it hits the market. So it's interesting to see how long it's going to take. And again, we can't get supply chain issues, right? You just can't put up houses as fast as you could.
No, that's another issue. When you see, I've had DSLD and D.R. Horton houses under contract and they can't get garage doors and windows.
Yeah.
Two of the largest builders in America, and they can't get basic essentials to finish these homes. I had one home, we were about to lose the rate lock for this family because they couldn't get the garage door and some windows.
Sure.
And normally those guys are like clockwork. If they tell you it's going to be ready on June 15th, it's ready on June 14th
at 5
p.m. and you're closing on. I mean, they build 20,000-30,000 houses a year. They have it down to a science. And when those guys can't deliver on time, it's tough.
Yeah, you know there's an issue.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we're going to take a short commercial break here, and we're going to come back with the second half of Financial Fitness. You guys stay tuned. We're salivated here in studio. Best energy drink on the market. I need it to get me through these late nights working around the clock. Like my man Trey Willard, you don't get to close in 650 transactions like the W Group this year without working some long hours. So,
amen.
We are talking about getting offers accepted. We're talking about the complexities of today's market. And I want to get back where we were just before the break, and we were talking about, again, where down payments and again, getting your offers accepted and different ways to do that and how values have appreciated. You know, during the break, we had a question come in from one of our agents asking about borrowing against the 401k or stock portfolio to increase their buying power. And absolutely, again, that's one of those where you want to have a good seasoned mortgage professional, and that can absolutely increase their buying power. and we would double check with their financial advisor or tax person just to make sure that there's no tax implications there. But most people have in their 401k a hardship clause where they can draw against it for a home purchase, major purchases like that. So that's a great question by Bryant, and something that we have frequently with first-time buyers, because not everybody has $100,000 laying around to put down on a house. You know, it's hard to save that kind of money with inflation the way it is right now and the cost of living for an average person who's making $50,000 to $100,000 a year.
Yeah, and what the way I look at it, and the way I answer the question offline, we'll talk about it online. You know, a lot of the stock market is not performing very well and hasn't performed well in the last several months. And real estate, as we talked about before, appreciated at 9% last year. It's up over 8% so far year to date this year. It's outperforming the market, right? It's also outperforming inflation. So if you want to hedge against inflation, real estate is an amazing place to put some of your assets right now. And that's why we have so many outside investors, which are also making it incredibly challenging for first-time home buyers, because you have all this money that's moving around right now. Fortunately for us in this market, we don't really see a lot of the big iBuyers, a lot of the venture capitalists.
I was going to say, though, money. That 10-15% of these single-family homes are being bought up by investment firms right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's parts of the markets in Phoenix, Arizona, and Tom Ferry and I were talking about this last week. You know, 30% of their market is being absorbed by
hedge funds and investment firms.
And it's a scary, scary thing, because you put that much capital and deploy that much capital in these areas, it makes it really challenging for a first-time home buyer. And in the grand scheme of things, you know, relative to the rest of the country, where the median sales price I think is north of 400,
right?
It's 260 here.
Yeah,
so
we're still in a good affordable housing market here.
100%, we are in an area where we're not being affected by a lot of that VC money and a lot of these big investors. So that's a positive, because you could be competing against these big iBuyers who are buying them, you know, cash over list, no contingencies, cash money, and that's incredibly hard. So I am grateful that we don't see a lot of that here.
Yeah, because when you're competing against Bob and Randy down the street to get your offer accepted, it's not as hard as when you're competing against Morgan Stanley.
That's right. Yeah, or
Edward Jones.
What's the big one is I think it's Blackstone.
Oh, Blackstone is
they're
a whale.
They're a monster, dude. They're a whale,
and they're buying up a ton of property, and it's just a matter of time before they get into some of the smaller markets.
Sure.
You know, I think right now, because rental rates and those West Coast markets is so high, but it's because they're smart and they know, like you said, the stock market, their portfolios, the demand to their investors and their shareholders
is to
deliver return on investment.
100%, man.
And so the highest return on investment is real estate and rent.
Yep.
Those things are going up at a steady rate every year over year, and with inventory shortages, rent's going to continue going up.
So this is something to think about, right? Although appreciation on homes was up 9% locally, right? Some markets it's much higher than that, but if we're looking, you know, hyper local at East Baton Rouge Parish or the greater Baton Rouge market, we'll say 9% year over year. Rent is up 19% year over year, right? Your landlord's getting rich. So again, we want to talk about building wealth by real estate.
Well, and another thing that people forget, that's year over year 19%.
Right.
When you buy a home, you are securing that cost for 15 or 30 years, depending on if you do a 30 or 15 year mortgage. So you've locked in the price of that home at that low interest rate, and you have locked it in against inflation, because now you have a set price on that house.
That's
guaranteed,
right,
for the next 30 years.
That's right.
Whereas rent keeps going up every single year, and that's not going to change. So as long as you're renting, you're subject to whatever the market's doing. You buy that house, now guess what? A $1,500 house note might have seemed like a lot of money to people 5-10 years ago, but 5 and 10 years from now, that $1,500 house note is going to seem really, really attractive when a one-bedroom apartment is $1,500 a month.
Sure.
Because I look at stuff that I see now, and it just blows my mind when I see apartments $1,300, $1,400, $1,500 a month that used to be $700 and $800 a month apartments.
Bananas.
And I just think I need to build an apartment building.
100%. And too, thinking about just, you know, when you own a home, right? It's basically a forced savings account. There's obviously a lot of tax benefits in there. I'm not going to sit here on a high horse and tell you how important it is to invest in real estate. But I will say, if you're looking at the data from the last several years and you're watching the home appreciation prices here locally, nationally, I mean, it's crazy. It is. Man, invest.
When your billion-dollar hedge funds and brokerage accounts are buying up real estate and rental properties and Airbnbs, that tells you, follow the money.
Follow the money.
These guys are billionaires. So if you want to make money, follow a millionaire's advice or a billionaire's advice.
That's right.
And if the billionaires are buying up real estate, rental properties, and buying up single-family properties, that's an indication of where the money's going.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think that that's a great bit of advice for anybody. You know, while we're talking about that, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who are first-time home buyers, average, you know, middle-class income in Baton Rouge. I remember thinking a $250,000 house was a ton of money.
Sure.
You know, my first really nice house I bought, I paid $247,000, and that was in Highland Club, 4-bedroom, 3-bath. Like, it was a really nice custom built home,
yeah,
by Robert Lynch for $247,000.
Yeah.
And you know, now people who are shopping for $250,000 and below are really struggling. Like, there's almost no inventory. I know, like, I had a client, like you were talking about, in Ascension, and the agent and I were on the phone. And I said, well, how's it going with our buddy? And she said, well, I ran the report and there were 3 listings, $250,000,
yeah,
in all of Ascension.
Yep.
That was, you know, it. And they were going, by the time they had scheduled appointments, 2 of the 3 were under contract, and the, yep, other one had some issues with it. Mm-hmm. So what hope, or what, you know, what can we do for that client in that 150 to 250? Because like you said, I'd probably have 100 more deals closed if I just had inventory for my average 150 to 250 consumer, mm-hmm, to buy a house.
Yep.
And I've got, like I said, I've got 100 pre-approvals this year that are just stagnant because they can't get an offer. They can't even find a house, yeah, in the areas they want to live in.
Yeah, so there's a lot of strategies behind that. Some of the things that we do, you know, number one is patience, right? I mean, setting the expectations. Look, be patient, guys. There will be a house that hits the market. You know, as there's only a certain period of time before homes can appreciate at this level, right? I mean, that's just reality. So we expect to see homes start to level out in pricing, right? And when they level out in pricing, that's going to bring more affordability to the market, which is one thing. Two, what are the strategies that your agent is working on you to find off-market deals, right? We have inside sales agents. Our agents do circle prospecting and dialing, where we're looking in certain neighborhoods for our clients. And in the script goes like this, you know, hey Brandon, Trey Willard over the W Group. Hey, we have a client, man, who is really, really looking to be in your neighborhood. And we're just calling around and just asking, have you guys had any thoughts of selling?
Yeah.
Do you know if your neighbors have had any thoughts of selling? So we're proactively looking for the business, and we're working really, really hard for our clients because we know how challenging it is, and being very proactive and less reactive. And I think that's something that you have to do.
Yeah, that's huge. And again, it goes back to having the right team in your corner is more than half the battle, is what I found. I know, working with hundreds of agents, my job can be very easy and it can be very difficult depending on the agent on the other side. So we got one last segment, and you guys stay tuned for more financial fitness. Welcome back. We are here. The show is rolling by. Our final segment. We're staying Cellevated here, the best energy drink on the market, and with the best advisor in the real estate market, my man Trey Willard. Really always love, man, when we bump into each other at the gym. Sometimes we got to go, like, all right, I got to go work out.
I got to work out, bro.
Because we'll get caught up talking, because we're both very passionate about our business. And Trey is always full of advice and full of knowledge. So, you know, we were talking about the average consumer right now that's trying to buy in that 250 price range and even below, which was, up until recently, get you a decent first time home buyer, starter home in Louisiana, and now it's almost impossible to find something from 100 to 200,000 without 20 offers on the table and someone going way over list.
Yes, a perspective. In about May of 2020, the median sales price in the Greater Baton Rouge market was $200,000. Today, it's $260,000.
Wow.
Isn't that bananas?
In 1 year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in two years. Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. So after the pandemic, man, we've just seen prices just on the up and up, right?
Yeah.
And you know, which, to go back to what you talked about, right? People are not necessarily making more money, right?
Not much.
And inflation is obviously hindering people's buying power, which is another crazy thing. So again, going back to just like be patient, right? What strategies is your agent working with you to try to help you guys find that property off market? You know, knowing about all the new communities that are coming, you know, the D.R. Hortons, the DSLDs, the Levels, the Carlos Alvarezes, the more affordable, and I say affordable, some of those guys have gotten to build some really, you know, high end
300
more
on
expensive
up. Yeah.
You know, properties. So what communities are coming up? I mean, what's going on with the permitting? You know, like what are the developers out there doing? You know, it's funny, I'm hearing a lot of people talking about buying dirt.
Right.
And they're not making any more dirt, right? So dirt's become a very valuable resource,
yeah.
Right? And the reason dirt is because, you know, you can develop dirt, you can build on dirt, you can do so much with that. And you know, as a real estate advisor, right, it's our job to know those things. You know, where are the next communities, where's the next developers
yeah.
coming, where's the next DSLD or D.R. Horton neighborhood? So that's another thing, you know, on top of all the stuff we do is like, is your real estate agent or your real estate professional, are they letting you know about all those communities? Because, and again, can they build them fast enough at this point? No. So that's where the patience comes
yeah.
in.
Well, and I think, like you said, having a true advisor, we were talking on the break, just off air, you know, always educating ourselves, you know, like listening to all the market updates, studying and seeing where these developments are coming up, you know, going and looking at legislation and announcements and where they're building new communities and being able to advise somebody, look, you probably aren't going to find what you want in Baton Rouge. Let's look West Baton Rouge. Let's look Port Allen. Let's look, I mean, you might have a little commute to work, but we can find you what you need. You know, we might have to broaden that search
for sure.
and go out into a little more rural community. You know, there's even better lending products on some of the rural programs. You know, so there's options out there if you have the right advisor who can educate you. And again, if you can't find what you want in Baton Rouge, because like you said, 260, that's a lot of money for an average family.
And this is
just
total transparency. This is the Greater Baton Rouge. This is taking the median sales price from West Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge, Livingston, Ascension Parish, and combining them. You know, we could go more micro, but that's pretty much what you're looking at these
yeah.
days. And it is. It's incredibly challenging to find homes in those. But it's also like, what are you willing to compromise on, right? Like, this is probably not, you know, in some cases, going to be people's forever home. So what are they willing to compromise on the short term, you know, to get into a property, start building that wealth, and then when the market does maybe shift, right, their buying power is significantly higher because they have more equity in their property, right? Because they didn't wait. They weren't on the fence.
I'll tell you one thing we did with a client, and it was actually one of my LOs. I can't even take credit for this. I'd like to, but one of my LOs, we had a lady. She was pre-approved for like $140,000, $150,000. Couldn't find her anything, but we ended up finding her a duplex, and she could rent out the other side.
Sure.
She could buy it as her primary residence
yeah.
and generate rental income,
yeah.
and then in a year or two, she could move out of her unit and now go buy the house she
sure.
wants. So she was able to find something that was, like you said, she had to settle. She didn't get the house she dreamed of.
Of course.
But she actually made a much better long-term financial investment and got a duplex that is income generating. Her rent on the other side pays almost the whole mortgage. So she's living mortgage-free, and we were able to increase her buying power. You know, because now she could go to 250 or might have even done 280. I don't remember what the exact dollar amount, but we were able to double her buying power and find her a two unit. And, you know, that's a strategy I haven't really shared, but it's something that, you know, a conversation to be had with some of these first-time home buyers who maybe want to really generate some, like we talked about, what better way to generate wealth right now than investing in real estate? You can buy up to a 4-unit property. A lot of people might not know this, but you can buy a 4-unit, fourplex, as an owner-occupied property with as little as 3.5% down FHA or 5% down conventional, and the rental income can be used to qualify to purchase that property. So that buyer who's limited and can't find a single family home, maybe the secret is, let's see if we can find them a multi-unit.
Sure.
And now we've made them wealthy in the long run, because now they're making a couple $1,000s a month in rental income. Yep. We put a strategy together where they save and invest that money, and then they buy the next house that they really love. And now they got 2 or 4 units generating rent for them every single month on a first-time purchase that they're going to get a super low interest rate, because yep. it's an owner-occupied property. They're going to have a very minimal down payment, because, like I said, 3.5% or 5% down. You can't do that on an investment property.
No, dude.
Once you're a true investor, you're looking at 20-25% down.
For sure.
On a multi-unit, you're at 25%.
Yep.
You know, so that's a strategy that we don't probably utilize enough, because there is still limited multi-family inventory out there too. But it's another option to look at with some of these consumers, you know, where they can't find that house, and so, okay, well, what about a duplex or a condo, you know, townhouse, things like that, like, so those compromises.
100%, yeah. And I think the compromises, and again, you know, it's you know, we do buyer consultations with all of our buyers. You know, we make sure we hit on, hey, what are the must-haves? You know, what are the things that you would really, really like if we were able to find it? And then what are some things you can compromise on, right?
Right.
And then we always circle back to, like, hey, remember when you said these are some things you'd compromise on? These are the must-haves. These are the things you can live without. Remember, and just kind of reminding them, this is probably not going to be your forever house. So what compromise are you willing to make? And again, it, setting expectations, going through the process, doing the consultations. We're incredibly thorough with our process, you know, and I think that's, a lot of people just skip from, hey, you're pre-qualified, this is your price point, let's go look at properties, when I think it's important you just sit down with them and you dig really, really, really deep, and you figure out those few items that you know, can make or break a sale.
Well, it's something that I remember, you know, some of the insurance agents would do for life insurance and stuff, FNA, a financial needs analysis, you know, and you mentioned being very detailed and thorough, and I know you personally, and I know how detailed you are, how meticulous you are. So, you know, that's crucial, and when you're hiring a buyer's agent, the beautiful thing is it costs you nothing as the buyer. You know, you get paid. A lot of people don't realize that either. You don't pay more money for Trey, the top realtor in the area, than you do for your cousin who cuts hair on the side and does real estate part-time. Like, they both cost you nothing as a buyer.
That's correct.
And to get an expert who's sold, you know, 1,000 properties and who's been doing this and does this full-time, round the clock, and who studies this every day for a living to be the best in the industry, it is vital to you as the buyer.
100%.
And as a seller.
You said it's the difference in getting your offer accepted on the first or second time than it is to get accepted on the 10th or the 12th time.
Absolutely. Or not getting accepted at all. And like, I've had clients, you know, I know that they're working with some inexperienced, and then they get frustrated, they throw their hands up and they say, I'm just going to rent for a year and wait for the market to change, which is not changing.
And it's not, I mean, again, we talked about this earlier, you're looking at probably another 2.5 to 3 year run, and my answer may change year over year over year based on the amount of inventory that's available, based on the interest rates, because I truly believe that once we get inflation in check, I do believe that interest rates will start to trickle back down.
Because inflation is the enemy of low rates.
100%, right? So knowing that and understanding economics and how all that stuff works is really important.
So I wish we had more time, because I tell you what, this has been an amazing and very informative episode. I thank Trey Willard with the W Group. We thank all you guys for tuning in on Facebook Live. Stay tuned next week for more Financial Fitness. Thanks, Trey.
Thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate it.
What up? What up?